And good morning. Medicine Ball Caravan time here on KRVS, Lafayette Lake Charles. I'm Cecil Doyle. Sonny Landreth is in the studio. Lafayette's most famous guitarist is getting ready to play, I believe, his first concert for 2013 tomorrow evening. We'll be talking to Sonny in just a couple of minutes, as well as listening to lots of music, a few new artists and new releases before the hour's up, as well as getting to a few classic tracks as well. We're going to start off by going to Grant Street back in 2005. And maybe a little bit of that breeze from Denver made its way here. This is Sonny Landreth live at Grant Street.
I will not be doing
Sonny Landreth, back in 2005 from his live album, Grant Street. And we have Sonny in the studio. Welcome, Sonny.
It's good to be back, Cecil.
And we haven't seen you play in town for a while, and you'll be playing tomorrow evening at Vermilionville's Performance Center with Frank and Tony Productions, man. What's been keeping you? I mean, I'm sure you've been on the road. How's this year been treating you?
It's been great, and we've been gone a lot, you know. It's pretty well caught up with me at this point, so it's good to come home and play. You know, I don't have to travel so far. I just have to drive down the Brobridge Highway to get here and play the gig. But we're really looking forward to it. I think Frank and them do a really terrific job. And I think it first came up, the idea to do it for a CD release party, and, you know, we couldn't make the logistics work back then. So I'm glad we're getting to it now, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, we're anxious to see you this year. Yeah, it's been a while. Well, you did play. You did do a short stint with who were you playing with at festivals over the weekend?
Well, no, I didn't. I was actually in Nashville. I missed the festival.
I could have sworn you were there, or I thought I heard you. Well, someone's imitating you very well, because actually that was it. I walked by the radio. I said, "Is that Sonny?" It was probably Roddy.
Oh, Roddy's awesome. Roddy's great. He's doing real well. And
Roddy's doing very well.
Yeah,
they've been working on their new album for quite a while, and you know, I mean, they put one out about every 10 years, so whenever they do it, it's good, and it has some mileage on it. So anyway, well, yeah, I thought you were here over the weekend. So Sonny, man, it's been a long journey since the days when you were playing, you know, on the strip at the what was it, the Red Dog or
the Red Dog Saloon? Yes, indeed, that was quite a few years ago. Well, I had a little bit of a circuit. I kind of somehow put together, and I was doing all that solo acoustic, but I played the Red Dog, and he also owned a place called the Red Garter.
So
the two Reds, I had the two Reds, and I had Mother's Mantle and some other little joint, but I would play those during the week, and then eventually started, I was working this day gig, blowing insulation in warehouses and that kind of thing. That got old real quick. Then I started working with a great bunch of people in a band called We the People. And this is way back in 77.
You were a member of We the People?
I certainly was.
I remember that group well.
I certainly was. Absolutely. Played a lot of gigs with them. So by that point, I realized I could quit the insulation gig. So I do my solo thing during the week at those places, like you mentioned, and then play with them on the weekends. But what really helped me about that back then was gave me a chance and a format to work with, to work on songs and figure out the best way to put them together and play them for people. But the funny thing was things would get pretty crazy sometimes. So if it got too out of hand, I would just take a break, wait till everybody left, and then start back up. I mean, there was always another crowd coming in, you know. It perhaps would be a little less, you know, raucous. It was a good way to cut your teeth on.
And weren't you playing for the most part, like, afternoons, late afternoons or something?
I did some of that, too. You know, Mother's Mantle used to do that on the strip. We'd do, like, an afternoon kind of thing out on the patio.
Right.
And give the poor fish tanks and the fish, you know, break from the stage, because as you will recall, they had fish tanks built into right underneath the stage inside, and I never felt good about, you know, cranking my amp up in there at all. But most of the other gigs that I'll do solo, I do, you know, acoustic with my Dobro and Martin D28, and then some electric. And as time went on, Dave Ransom started joining me on those, and he'd play guitar. And we'd do two guitars and that approach. And he started adding his bass. And then we added Glenn Hebert on drums, and one thing after another, and led into the first band we had called Bayou Rhythm, and started going on the road. And that was probably by then, I think our first trip out west was in 81. And we've been doing that ever since.
Now, when you were playing, you know, these venues at that time, were you writing your own material yet, or were you pretty?
Yeah, I've always been working on songs, and that's kind of what I was getting at earlier. That it did give me that opportunity to get ideas. For, you know, was I was working on these songs, and I could play them, and And also playing other blues tunes and other songs I like, just a little bit of all different kinds of music, really. But it was all based on, for the most part, fingerstyle, slide guitar. So I worked out a lot of stuff back then, I think.
Well, you know, your guitar style is unique among a whole world of guitar players. Where did you develop this whole style? I mean, I look at you playing, I can't even figure out what you're doing. I mean, which is like the hallmark of any great guitarist, that you can just stare at their fingers and figure out what they're doing. How would you describe your technique and how did it come out? How did you discover it? Because I haven't heard anyone else do it. You're playing basically what, behind the slide?
Yeah, or? I'm combining the slide notes with fretted notes. And well, funny you should ask, because I'm going to start working on my first instructional DVD, I guess it is. And by the time they get through with it, probably all downloaded. So I'm pretty excited about it. And I don't know, man. Things always occur to me. And I think the fact that so many different influences growing up here with the music in the area. I mean, I played trumpet in school band all the way through college. So I had, you know, my gigs on the weekends with the bands, and I had my only formal training I've ever had. But that really helped me, and it gave me, a broader picture. So a lot of these sounds of instruments, it was an attempt on my part to emulate that. I don't think I was really that conscious of it, but looking back, I know there was a whole lot of different kinds of music that I was listening to and wanting to find a way to bring all that together.
Well, it certainly worked. And when did the love affair with the Stratocaster come? I mean, you basically, for the most part, use a Stratocaster, right? Or
yeah, I do. You know, which is funny, because I was a Gibson guy growing up, and always dug them.
What kind did you have growing up?
Well, I had for me the first. My first electric guitar was an Epiphone, first solid body. And from that I went to Bobby Brooks, who was our great, he was our guru here, the great jazz guitarist and musician. And we, you know, as kids, we'd all go hang out at his place. And that was like heaven to me. And he talked me into, said, man, I know this guy that has this ES-175, and basically it's a big hollow body jazz guitar with pickups on it. And that's when I got that guitar. I was probably 14, and that's what I was trying to learn how to play Hendrix on, and which is kind of doesn't make a whole lot of sense looking back. You know, you thought I would try it with a Strat, but in a way, maybe that pushed me in directions I wouldn't have otherwise. I'll tell you one thing, I had any problem with feedback, man. I could hit a note and just, it was like a compressor blowing air out of that thing. Big F holes. But it's a beautiful guitar. I still have it, and I played that for many years. I played it in We the People, and all these years through that, and Michael Murphy, and did a lot of sessions in the early days. But at one point, I got onto the Gibson Firebird, and I had that for years, and that was a solid body guitar. But when I started working with John Hyatt, because Ry Cooter used Strats, you know, and that was his thing, and a big part of the sound on that album that they had made together called Bring the Family, I started using Dave Ranson's 65 Strat, and I actually went on the road with John with that, and then I started buying them, and one thing led to another. I'm working on a signature model with them, and it's been an epic voyage for the past 6 years or so.
They approached you about this?
Yeah, they did. It was really cool. It's been quite a long time ago now, but we're getting real close to finishing, I'm excited about it.
Well, yeah, you should be. I mean, yeah, and here it is. I mean, you've been doing this quite a few years, and now, I mean, you know, you see a signature guitar, an instructional video. I mean, it's this. I guess some of that comes with age. I mean, you know, you've been doing it for a while, and now it's you know.
Well, it goes to show you, if you hang around long enough, you might get a few doors open.
Yeah, you might. You might. You know, through the years, talking about, well, you know, thinking I was hearing you playing with a festival over the weekend, because there have been many times when you used to to play with Cajun bands.
Huh? Oh yeah, yeah, love it. Yeah. In fact, you know, we did for years with the Traitors, you know.
Yeah, that was it.
And that was the band that we had put together, Gary Newman and Errol Verrett and myself and Al Bayrard and Tony and Lachelet and the gang, and others would kind of come and go too. But the whole idea behind that was to raise money for the Tommy Como Fund to have a chair of endowment at the university, which we finally accomplished, and it took us many, 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 many years. But that whole thing started out playing in that band was Chef Pat Mould's idea as we were doing our original fundraiser, and we just kind of all showed up at the park one year, and that's how that whole thing kicked off. So we did that every year, you know, through that whole time. I miss it too.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you just jump into it? I mean, because you know, playing this, you know, your material and playing blues guitar for the most part. How was it all of a sudden jumping into Cajun music with your style of playing?
Yeah, but I started doing that long before that. I mean, I would go. I lived right down the street from Mulots, and even before I was living there. With Zachary Richard, I was playing with him, played with Clifton Chenier before that, but in terms of playing Cajun music, a lot of that I learned working with Zachary and with Michael Doucet. And I'd sit in with Beausoleil all the time. And when I was working with Zach, we were actually the first band to play at Mulots before he had the big room and the dance floor and all that. It was a tiny little joint, and we showed up there one night. There's nobody there, believe it or not, and I'm going, man, what are we doing here? And we were doing it all acoustic. We'd just gotten back from Montreal and playing all these big shows, and then Carrie Butte walked out with all the food, and I went, oh, that's why we're here. And it was just him and his wife, you know, Goldie, back at the time. There's nobody else there. I mean, not a living soul. And we started doing that, I think it was Wednesday or Thursday nights, I don't recall, and people started showing up, and then we started playing on the other side of the bar, then he knocked out a wall, and knocked out another wall, and then that whole tradition started. It's pretty cool to be part of that, you know, when that all got going.
Yeah, for sure. And speaking of playing Cajun music, well, actually, I was digging through some records last night. I came across, in fact, I'm going to spin this right now for a couple of minutes. Do you remember recording The Flames of Hell with Led Capana?
Oh, sure, Led. Love it. He's awesome. Yeah, he's great. Yeah, the producer, Steve Buckingham, called me. We were good friends, and I've done a lot of work for him over the years. And I jumped at the opportunity. I was a fan of Led's, and they wanted to do something that would have you know, significance, and I thought it was a really cool idea to bring the two different cultures kind of together in a way with that song, and that's how that came about.
Yeah, I wanted to play that. Yeah, Led Capana is a great. Is it a slack key guitarist?
Yeah, slack key Hawaiian guitar. Yeah, and there's a common thread there because. Talking about the earlier days and me learning to play blues as a kid, that all came for me from the Delta bluesmen and using open tunings and using the slide. And a big influence was the Hawaiian players that came through back in the day. So he's using open tunings, and it's pretty cool, you know, to have that that common thread.
Well, all right. And you, when they asked you, that you suggested La Flamme d'Offer?
Yeah, I thought it would be, I don't know, it just hit me. I thought it would be a good one for him to work on and to get that rhythm going.
Well, let's listen to that. This was done probably about 10, 12 years ago now.
At least, yeah, you know, I've lost count.
Led Capana, a Hawaiian slack key guitarist with Sonny Landreth, who pretty much takes over the song. This is The Flames of Hell. We'll be right back. Sonny Landreth with Led Capana, and Les Flammes d'Affaires here on the Medicine Ball Caravan. And Sonny's with me here in the studio. We're getting ready for his big show tomorrow evening at Vermilionville's Performance Center, and that kicks off at 8 o'clock. I'm sure, I saw Tony yesterday. Tickets are available, but there's not too many left, so you might want to...
Better nab them. Better grab them. Also, we're going to have Tommy Shreve's going to come out and sit in with us.
Really?
Yeah, I spoke with him yesterday. He's in town, and so... Whenever we get a chance, we like to hook up, you know.
Yeah, and
we'll see. Maybe another guest or two may show. You never know.
Wow, that brings me back to the days of the Strip. You know,
oh, yeah,
Tommy was a regular between the Studebakers and Red Beans and Rice. I mean, yeah. I was seeing him every other weekend over there on the Strip back in the late 70s, early 80s. Still around today. But, yeah, that shit should be great. So I think if you just head to Vermilionville's website, there should be a connection there, you know, or just Google Sonny Landreth Vermilionville. I'm sure you'll get some kind of information to grab tickets. But Tony says there are – Frank and Tony said there are just a few left. So should be a great, great show. So what do you have on the pot boiling, Sonny? You got any new records in mind? It's been a year or more since the last one.
Yeah, you always have to kind of keep an eye, you know, what's coming up and try to hit the ground running. So I'm always working on songs. I've got a lot of different ideas and things I want to get to. And my first probably hoop is getting through this instructional thing, because since I've never done one and waited forever to do it, I'd like for it to come out really well. It'd be nice. And also, you know, do some sessions, but mostly looking at going out and working with a band next year. Also doing some shows with Cindy Cashdollar. We do like a kind of a duo thing and two slides. It's really cool, and it's a whole different dynamic. So do some of that and start working on a new album.
Now, when you work with two slides, you pretty much have to, I think there's a lot of pre-prep, a lot of preparation, I would imagine. I mean, with two slides, it seems like you have to kind of be, you know,
well,
going together.
It could be ugly, but, you know, it could definitely be ugly.
I was thinking of that.
But, well, not with her, because, you know, when you've done it for a long time and you find your way, like, as a voice, how that works. And the fact that she plays the lap slide is a whole different sound, and some of the tunings are different. So it's pretty cool, actually. There's a lot of the low end which she can handle with the big strings, and then we sort of work around it like that. And we've done a lot of projects together, so when you know somebody and you've worked with them that much, you have a way of feeling that, and it's more intuitive. And I think it's pretty cool, because you get two different sounds from slide like that that complement each other.
Yeah, and you've worked with so many people. I mean, all the greats in the business. You've sat side by side with everyone from Eric Clapton to, you know, any guitarist, great guitarist you can think of. Is there anyone out there that you admire that you haven't worked with yet that you'd like to?
Jeff Beck.
Yeah, there you go, Jeff Beck. Oh.
Well, we put it to them, and it looked like it was going to happen there for a while, but I'm not so sure now. Yeah. You know, I never say never, and
right.
Still hope at one point, you know. We've done shows together. He's incredible. I mean, there's nobody like him. And I have songs, actually, that I'm still keeping in mind in case that window of opportunity happens to come about. But also, speaking of which, the other thing, the new Crossroads DVD is coming out, Eric Clapton's Crossroads, and mm-hmm. all the money goes to his clinic in Antigua, mm-hmm. which is really, really great.
And you did it this past year?
Yeah, we did. We did it back in the spring, and this time we've been doing it in Toyota Park outside of Chicago, but this year it was in Madison Square Garden. So it was a whole different dynamic in a way, but the production was really awesome.
Weren't they showing it in theaters this year?
They did, I think, briefly, but the DVD is set to come out soon. I'll give you an exact date, but I don't remember. They kept pushing the deadline back, but I understand they just had a press release like last week.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, I played, they did it two nights, and I did a solo piece one night and then with the band the second night, and Derek Truck sat in with us. So I have one solo piece on there. It's the more bizarre psychedelic version of a song that normally is much more zen-like, I would have said. But the other is, I think, Congo Square Zone. It's an old song of ours, and Derek sat in with us on that. And I think Pedal to Metal, an instrumental, as a three-piece. So I think there's three songs on it. So I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that. Yeah, I was thinking last year or a few months ago when the concert occurred, that I remember hearing that some theaters were showing it live, and yeah, that'd be a great thing next time you do it. Maybe the ACA should look into broadcasting that live.
That's,
I think,
a good idea.
That'd be good to pull in people for a whole afternoon or something. It's usually on a Saturday, isn't it? Or,
well, they, you know, the very first one actually went on through a weekend. It was a big production, at least two stages, three counting the smaller stage. And then he condensed it because there were so many artists, he couldn't get them all on the recordings and the DVD and so forth. So he made it so it was like one day and night, and did that for a few different times. And this go around though, yeah, it was pretty cool because they had like a satellite stage, as you recall, on each stage left and stage right. So when they were setting up the main stage, they would have people play in really unique combinations. The other artists that were there with their bands, perhaps, but then they would appear together. And it's more intimate kind of a situation, you know, setting like that. So while the main stage is being put together and in place, then you'd have a performance on one of those smaller stages. So it's pretty cool. They kept that whole thing rolling like that.
Well, looking forward to seeing more from you, Sonny. And again, if you want to catch Sonny, his one and only appearance here in Lafayette this year, it's tomorrow evening, 8 o'clock, Vermilionville's Performance Center. Tickets are still available. And I tell you what, if you are able to make it to the KRVS studios, before we shut down on Friday tomorrow. But actually, we'll be here. I think about it. Yes, fundraiser begins tomorrow, so we should be here throughout the afternoon. But anyway, I have a pair of tickets to give away to the concert right now. I'll give it away to caller number 7 at our studio line, 482-6991. That's 482-6991. Caller number 7 wins a pair of tickets to see Sonny Landreth tomorrow night at Vermilionville's Performance Center, if you can pick them up in time before the show. Sonny, thanks so much for dropping by. We're looking forward to seeing you and hearing more from whatever happens, man. We're following you all the time.
Buddy, I appreciate it, Cecil. It's always like coming home here, for fact. Thank you.
All right. This is Sonny from his most recent album. Came out last year, an instrumental album entitled Elemental Journey, an album he recorded with the Acadiana Symphony Orchestra. This is Heavy Heart Rising. This is Patty Griffin from her unreleased Lost album from 2000 that's just seeing the light of day. She'll be performing next week at Vermilionville's Performance Center. From Silver Bell, this is the title track.
Support for KRVS and the concert calendar comes from Show and Tell Productions, offering concert sound, lighting, and audiovisual production services and installation. Contact information is available at showandtellpro.com.
Looking at the Medicine Ball calendar. This evening, it's GTO and D Street at Rhythms on the River in River Ranch. Clay Parker will perform at Artmosphere. The Shoe Pick High Rollers and Drunken Catfish Ramblers, Blue Moon Saloon. Kelly Keeling performs piano this evening at Backstage. And David Egan performs at Charlie G's. On Friday, Sassafras Jubilee performs Bach Lunch at 12 noon in Parc Sans Souci. A little bit later in the afternoon, the Rayo Brothers and Lyric Colt play Downtown Alive. That also happens in Parc Sans Souci, downtown Lafayette. Sonny Landreth plays Vermilionville's Performance Center tomorrow evening at 8 o'clock. Chapel Blues and Sugar Bear and the Monkey Tangs will be at Artmosphere. The Creole String Beans perform the Blue Moon Saloon. It's Devils in Train at Blue Dog Cafe. Randy Vedrine will perform at McGee's Landing in Henderson. there will be a belly dance showcase at the station in Broussard. And Will Vance and the Kinfolk perform at the Wild Salmon. On Saturday, Joanna Devine and the Swayback Sisters. Swayback Sisters with Joanna Devine, along with the Cathead Biscuit Boys. They'll be performing Artmosphere. The Iguanas return to the Blue Moon Saloon Saturday night. Sassafras Jubilee move it from Parc Sanssouci on Friday to a performance Saturday night at the Blue Dog Cafe. Ryan Seymour will be at McGee's Landing. Yvette Landry plays the Richard Sale Barn in Abbeville Saturday night. It's the Pinsky File. Ismonic and Freetown Hounds playing the station in Broussard. Destroyer of Light at the Wild Salmon. And Greg Martinez will have his CD release at Bo's Garage in Opelousas on Saturday night as well. Stay tuned to KRVS coming up at 12 noon today. It's Old Gold with Lee Kleinpeter. And at 1 o'clock, Joanna Devine with the Avalon Variety Hour. And KRVS's fall fundraiser kicks off with a bang tomorrow morning, starting with the Blues Box with Raul Bro at 9 o'clock. We'll be here for the next 10 days asking for your support. It's our big fall fundraiser. If you've been a regular listener and it's been a year or more since your last pledge, please consider helping us out with a pledge of support. You can do that anytime, any time of the year, online on our website, krvs.org. Instrumental track from Brother Deej's upcoming release, How to Kill a Horse, something called Zero Dark 30. This is the newest album by Ivory League. It's called The Monster, at least the song is, and the album is, the song is You Gotta Make Love Bring You Back.
Streets of I wanted to love you, but I just wanted to hold you. No, wow. said they could kill me. I said, oh, tell me why love is like, just like a bone, just like a